God is good. Today is January the 1st, 2017, and can't we say God is good?
Yes,
He's good. Brother Vernon, thank you for your prayer this morning of Thanksgiving. I think it was most appropriate. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're truly our honored guest. Thank you for being a part of our fellowship here, especially today. Some of you, I know you were up last night popping firecrackers, saying Happy New Year. This morning I got a few texts saying Happy New Year, Brother Gary. And I go to bed so you can preach in the morning. You don't know I was already in the bed. Amen, somebody. God is good. But we just thank Him. It's good. God is good. Let's sing a verse of God has smiled. Yes, He has. I believe that He has set me free. Oh, my God. Oh, yes, He smiled on me. Yes, He's been. God has been good to me. Yes, it was amazing. Yes, how sweet
the sound
that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once
was lost.
Oh, yes, but now I'm
found.
Yes, was blind.
But now
God is good.
I'm
It's all because my God, I knew smile
on me.
I believe that He has, yes,
me
free. Will my God, yes, He smile on me. Will He's been
good.
My God, He's been
good.
Oh, yes, now He's been
good.
Yes, to me. Amen. Amen. We have selected a theme for this new year, as we have done in the past. Of course, the Bible is our guide in all things. As we are trying to make heaven our home, we've selected a theme from the scriptures: making disciples, making a difference. Making disciples and making a difference. And I want to jump right into my lesson this morning. If we were to survey people in any church and ask them what would they say is the primary purpose or the mission of the church, what kind of answers do you think we would get? What kind of answers do you think we would get? I know some of the answers, and some of them have actually been polled. Answers like, well, the church is for the fellowship. Some might suggest the church is a primary place to make friends, to meet with godly people, and strengthen their lives and enjoy meaningful relationships, which is a good place to do that, all of those. To enjoy wonderful relationships, to strengthen our families, a good place to bring our families, and the primary purpose. Some people look for a church based on a fellowship. Some people might say that the purpose of the church is to praise God. The main purpose of the church is to praise God. And some people look for a church that has exciting worship service, and the church is supposed to be a community of praise, that we exalt God for what He's done and who He is. And of course, surely God is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
Without a doubt.
Amen.
Without a doubt. But if you look in the scriptures and you search the scriptures for the primary purpose of the church, and I thought this would be a good time to do this as we've selected the theme, making disciples and making a difference. What was and is the mission? Jesus's mission. I say what was and is because Jesus still lives, doesn't He?
Amen.
And he's at the right hand of the Father, the scripture would tell us. And let's do this biblically, because, and I know for many of you that are Christians already, this is fundamental, but you cannot forget this. And we cannot get away from this. Understand that, first of all, what Jesus' mission was. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, if you turn that with me, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. And we dwelt among us. And then it says, and we saw, or we beheld his glory. And I've read that so many times. And sometimes we go over scriptures and we memorize them, but we really don't fully take what it's talking about, what it's saying. We saw, we beheld his glory. What does that mean, that we beheld his glory? Well, we saw the way Jesus lived, and we saw the word glory. What was so honorable about what we saw about Jesus? He says, "We beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth," is what the scriptures say. What does it mean? We beheld his glory. We saw what was important in the life of Christ. We saw how it says. And when we saw what was important in the life of Christ, you're seeing what's important to God the Father. Well, what did Jesus come here to do? The Bible says in Luke chapter, I want to go to these passages, because I don't want you to think this is coming from Brother Gary. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man has come to, the scripture saying, to seek and to save. And I know, you know, we come up. Well, I hope Brother Gary got a good sermon today. I hope Sister So-and-so be here today. I hope Brother So-and-so. But Jesus came to this world. The scripture says to seek and save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came to this world, period. Amen. He left heaven's glory to come to this world. And let's see if we can understand this a little bit better. I want to get a little deeper into this. What is Jesus' mission? Listen to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 11. Everybody's all right this morning? Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 11. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome, he said, "There is none who understands." But some of this is mind-boggling to me. We studied the book of Romans. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. And I say, wait a minute, hold up. Nobody understands. And he's trying to put this in perspective, because, you see, you remember Adam and Eve had everything perfect. And they sinned. And you remember when they sinned in the garden, they tried to hide from God. They knew they messed up. But they tried to hide. And the Bible says God went looking for Adam. And he says, "Where art thou, Adam?" Amen. Notice, very important point you must remember is that God sought Adam. He sought him, knew he had messed up. And God's, and we get to the New Covenant, New Testament. And the scripture says, you know what? Paul wrote to the church of Rome and said, see, people in the world, people do not understand the ramifications of what has happened. Amen. They don't understand. It's like us when we do things. Have you ever, I remember, it would be like you going to school and you make a bad grade on your card. And they used to give out that. Do they still give out report cards in school? I don't know if they digitize everything, but we used to call them report cards. You get bad grade on your report card, and you see it, and it's a bad grade. And you say, "I'm mom and daddy, and they're not going to see this. And you hide the card as if you hiding it is going to keep you out of trouble. Amen. Hey, man, somebody. Amen. Anybody relate to that? Some of us do things sometimes. And we know it's wrong. We know we violated some law, something, and we even hide it. Amen. We keep, and sometimes we hide it real good that nobody can find it for a while. But guess what? It's coming up, isn't it? It's coming up. mom and dad gonna find out sooner or later. Sometimes it's real soon, because some of you parents, I know you call, I know it's report card day. I know somebody got some report cards. And some of us, we're dismissive parents. We don't even realize it until it's too late. And some folks call the school. But sooner or later, it's coming out. And Paul, when he writes this, he says, there is none who understand. There is none who seeks God. He says, you know, most of the time when we do that, there are so many people that are lost in the world right now, and they don't realize what's happening. Amen. They don't understand. And they surely are not seeking God. And he goes on to say this. All have turned aside. Together they've become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. It says, no, not one. There's not one. And we live in the world, and some folks just trying to make it. You're going on in life, and some of us do good. We think we can help ourselves, and some people think that they are totally all right. And the Bible says Jesus came to seek. He came to find. He came to deliver the message, and he came to save those which were lost. So Jesus' mission, turn with me now to our text of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The brother read it. Stay with me now. Don't lose me. Don't lose this morning. This is basic. It's fundamental. I got to do this morning. We need to understand the urgency of what God has given us as his church. And today I'm spending time on this. Now, I'm not getting into the details of exactly how we're going to do that, but if the Lord says the same, we're going to do that as we go on throughout this rest of this month for sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Read from New American Standard Translation. New things have come. Now, all these are from God. See, Jesus' mission is God's mission. Because God sent Jesus to the world. Now, I forgot that you was fixing to talk about the church. I'm getting there. Jesus' mission was and is the same as God's mission. Was in his mind and still is today. It says, now all these things are from God. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And see, then it says, who reconcile. The word reconcile, it means to return into favor with. Jesus came to this world to fix some things. He came to seek. He came to, because see, a lot of folk ain't, now I know, Brooke, I'm in Christ. That's good. You've been saved if you're in Christ. But there are so many people who don't know they are lost and surely are not seeking God. Amen. And God sent Jesus to this world to get people back in favor with God, even people who don't know it. Amen. He sent Jesus to reconcile us to himself. See, if God hadn't went out and called Adam, if he hadn't went seeking Adam, Adam and Eve would have tried to hide forever. Now, of course, they received their punishment. They were under the Old Testament law. They received their punishment, but they were going to receive that anyway. And God still, he wanted them to understand the ramifications, what they had done. He says he's reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Have you ever had somebody in your life to help you make up with somebody else? Yes. That's, boy, look. And see, because sometimes we can't do it ourselves, can we? Amen. Okay, what you say, you need somebody to speak on your behalf.
Amen.
To help them see what's in your heart.
Amen.
And God has given us the same ministry, mission that he gave to Jesus. And that is of us getting people back in favor with God. Lord have mercy, help us, Jesus. Let me finish reading. He says, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
And you thought you was here to meet Susie. And you thought you was here just to hear some good singing this morning.
All right.
God has made us. Notice this is a letter written to the church at Corinth and to all churches of Christ, all churches that belong to God. God is reminding us why our main mission is we ought to be people that's about winning people, about helping people to come back in favor with God. Lord, him. And you know what? When we save somebody else, we actually are saving ourselves. Oh, I love, did you like that?
Amen.
Oh, I love it. Brother Gary, do I have to be a preacher? We're going to get into that later. See, we don't know. We just want you to understand. See, that's why when we go through our ministry systems and we go through all the activities of the church, you need to understand the ultimate goal. The primary goal, everything we do as the church of Christ, as God's people, has to lead to reconciling people with God.
Amen.
Then he goes on to say, the brother read in your hearing, therefore we, he goes, notice he says we. And us, if you want to know who the we are, go back to the first and second verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the beginning. He always addresses who the we are, the church of the church of God. It's no, make no mistake about it. It's to us, it's to the saints. He says, so us, so we. He says, so we are ambassadors. Some of you know what an ambassador is. He says, we are, and see, that means that we are an authorized representative of Jesus Christ, of God. We are ambassadors. And so that makes us, that should make us all feel empowered, make us feel a part of the fellowship. No, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Bible school teacher. You have to be a child of God.
Amen.
In whatever instance God has given us gifts, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal, notice this, an appeal through us. And some folks say, folks, when you talk to people, listen to experiences, I was sitting on the side of my bed and the Lord just spoke to me. I don't tell people, you know, the Lord didn't speak to you. I don't say that to people. Because, you people have different reactions.
Amen.
But you sure that wasn't that Jack Daniels? It might have been something else speaking to you. God just spoke to us through his word. It's as if God is making an appeal. Notice how he puts it. He's making an appeal. You see, some of us, we fuss at folks. I don't know why you don't come to church. You going to hell. That's not an appeal. An appeal through us. We are his spokespersons. We are his influencers. We are in different places, you know, on your jobs. When you're at play, when you have opportunities, as Christians, as saints, remember why you're here. We're here to reconcile people to God. And see, and you know when people are out of favor with God? You know, we take people to lunch. We pray, can I pray for you?
Amen.
We encourage people because we understand. And we know what's at stake. And if you leave people alone, they're not going to just come to God. I wake up one day and say, I'm going to God. We have to seek. Oh, my goodness. He says, we beg you on behalf of Christ. And Paul understood the urgency. Because you know how he really understood? Because he knew how lost he was. And that some of us is here right now. You don't have to say nothing if you don't want to. Do you remember where you used to be?
Yes.
And when you know where you came from, and you know how you think about some of the things that you used to even believe, some things, especially some things you used to do. And not to say that we are absolutely 100% perfect right now, but you think about where you came from and if you were still there right now.
Amen.
That's why I grew up in the church. And sometimes folks that grow up in the church, we take for granted what we have. You be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and you take God for granted. And you know what? I used to take God for granted. I really know I grew up in the church. My mother done made me come to church. And I know somebody said, Brookie, don't say that. Don't say that. Well, that's just what they did. Because when I was young, for a while, there was a lot of times, if that dad wouldn't have said, get up, we go to church, I surely would have. I'm so glad they trained me. Because it finally reached a point that I had to decide for myself that I love God and I want to serve God. And that was a turning point. But even after I did, by you taking for granted, you come to church all the time, I still took it for granted. I took for granted my relationship with the Lord and how protected I was. Some things I didn't even know. I just took for granted it was going to happen until I got lost a minute. And I got sidetracked. You know what? You know, there's an old saying to say, you don't miss your water till you. And I know that young people, they might not even, water. They don't know. They don't know what a well is. So we got to come up with a new one for them. They don't miss your iPad till you. Or something, I don't know. Till they take it from you or something like that. I don't know.
Amen.
But when you had a relationship with God,
well,
and then you realize, Lord, what have I done?
Yes,
see, I had to be re-reconciled.
Amen.
Back to the Lord. And you know how I was re-reconciled? Somebody made an appeal to me, to my heart. And I thank God for them.
Amen.
Every single day. See, you know why? Because I didn't understand for a while. You see, and then you know, when you lost, you don't understand. You especially when you enjoying the pleasures of sin. Because there are some pleasures in sin, amen, church. Not too loud. There are some pleasures. But I'm going to tell you what. I learned before the Lord killed me,
amen,
that it wasn't worth it.
Amen.
And I learned there's a price. The Bible says for the wages, there's a price of sin is death. We be reconciled. He made who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. This is why Jesus is so important. His mission was so important. So that we might become the righteousness of God. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus' mission, notice, we beheld his glory. His mission was to bring glory to God. What was his glory? His glory was his mission. He came to seek and save that which is lost, because that brought glory to God. Jesus' mission was to bring glory to God by making disciples, by reconciling people back to God's favor. Amen. That's what Jesus' mission was. Amen. And listen to the Bible in John chapter 17, verse 3, John 17, 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you. This, now Jesus is talking. He's about getting ready to go back to with God. He's talking to his apostles. He says, this is that they may know you. I want them to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Then verse 4, I glorified you on earth. I did what you said, Lord. I seek as best as I could everybody who's lost to point them back to you. That was the glory of God, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. So the church's primary mission is the same as Jesus' mission and God's mission, which is to bring glory to God by making disciples. That's why we say making disciples. We want to put that at the forefront of the church to know. We're not just meeting up here to have a meeting. We're just not just going somewhere to just be going somewhere. We're not just having a function, a workshop, a gospel meeting, a gathering, a retreat, a marriage retreat, a singles retreat, just to say we got something to do and we want folks to have a good time. What are you trying to do, Brother Gary? We're trying to reconcile people, keep people, and keep to win people to Christ and keep people in Christ. Amen. That's what we're trying to do. Amen. And listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And so God receives glory from churches that are about his mission. That's how God receives glory. Because it ain't about us. It's about God and his goodness. Amen, somebody? Amen. And so when we get to the passage of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, passage that we are all very familiar with, many of us are very familiar with, Matthew 28, 18, it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is one of the last statements that Jesus made before he went to glory. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's the Greek, the word for disciples is matheteo, the original word. And it's a word. It's a word that means disciples, learners. Make learners. And what did Jesus talk about? Now I know. See, we stress the evangelistical thrust of that word, in which we are correct in saying that we have to convert people. But the meaning has so much more than just putting people in pews. They're just filling the pews. It has much more than just saying we baptized 71 people last year. He says, I want you to, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to baptize them, but I want you to make disciples of people. And that is to make lifetime, lifelong learners of people. We convert them and baptize them, but we have to grow people and grow them up in the Lord and teach and train individuals and make trainers of them that they can train other people. Amen. That's the mission. Amen. That's our mission. As a Bible school teacher, as a nursery teacher working with the small children, that's our mission as God's church. And he told them that. He says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. He says, I'm in with you to the end of the age. And so that's why in the church, that's why right now, see, we have different maturity levels in the church. You know, some individuals, they know all the books of the Bible. Some of them don't know where to turn, nothing in the Bible. But notice this. But by now, you might not know the books of the Bible, but there are basic fundamentals that every Christian, every child of God has to know. That's why Jesus, my prayer is that they know you. And see, there was a time that God did weaken ignorance according to Acts chapter 17, verse 30. There was a time that God overlooked ignorance. But the Bible says, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. You might not know the whole Bible, but you got to know the fundamentals of how to get in the faith. And all this month, I want to spend some time on giving examples of conversion stories and how we lead people to Christ. And I want to, all this year, we want to focus, we want our ministers to focus on lessons that deal with making disciples. And then we're going to spend some time, I'm trying to spend this month on conversions and doctrinal lessons, the foundations of the faith. And then we're going to spend some time on teaching and training us as members how to live in this world. And how to grow, practical examples of how the Bible gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness so we can become and stay disciples. And we can make a difference in this world because God put us in this world, the Bible says, to be light and salt. Amen. That's why we're here. We're here so when you get up and go to work in the morning, even before you put your clothes on, in your mind forefront is when I get dressed is how what I put on going to affect my influence to be able to reconcile, lead somebody to Christ and glorify God. It don't mean all of that. Yes, it does. Yeah. And how we talk and how we act and what we do every single day as God's people, and it's because we're governed by God's word. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 14, I'm closing, Acts chapter 14, verse 21, Acts 14, 21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. Now, when scriptures uses the term, they made many, they didn't make anybody get baptized. It is the gospel message which has the power to salvation. Amen. The Bible says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the message that influenced a person to come to have faith in Christ Jesus. But they preached that message, they taught that message, and the disciples, the followers, decided to be baptized. The Bible says in Lystra and Iconium to the church at Antioch, and in verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. That's why, an appeal I like to make. Appeal to the Church of Christ that meets here at Fifth Ward. Is that you will commit this year. And I know many of you are already committed. That you will commit. And this is an appeal. This is not a demand. It's an appeal to the saints of God. To those who will be followers and disciples of God. That's why I want to encourage you to commit to, if you're not working, and if you're not providentially hindered, if you're not sick, to commit to the assembly of the saints in 2017. That on your calendars, and we were supposed to give out our calendars today. We had a huge mess up with our equipment, and so we couldn't print them. We actually have it already done, but we couldn't finish printing. We printed on a few copies, and we didn't want to give some members a calendar and others not a calendar, so we didn't finish. So Lord says the same, we'll have them next week. But I want you to mark your calendars, or don't mark your calendars, mark your mind. That because see, and I'm getting ahead of myself, because growth occurs best in community. God made it that way. See, the best spiritual growth occurs when people are committed, are in committed, healthy, intentional relationships with other believers who want to do the same thing. In other words, disciples make disciples. And you can say what you will or may. You know, at your job, at home, it's hard to encourage yourself by yourself. Amen. And the devil gets so busy, and there's some things you hear from the Word of God you will never hear on TV or nowhere else. Amen. And listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Romans 1, 11. For I long to see you, so that I might impart some spiritual gift to you, Paul says, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. Can I ask you, can I appeal to you, would you please help me, encourage me, and I try to encourage you, but we cannot do it when we don't see each other, when we don't talk to each other, when we don't communicate with each other.
Amen.
So I want to encourage the church not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All of us. And I know it's, you know, we have worship service at 8 o'clock, 11:15. We have worship service at 6 o'clock in the evening. I know some don't come in the evening. I'm not saying, you know, we to me, I just call the question I ask, if you're not worshiping the Lord, what you doing?
Amen.
You just check what you're doing. You know, if you're working or something like that. But you know, and I'm not one to say that you're going to hell because you don't come to evening worship. But just check what you're doing and check your priorities. Is that all? That's all I have to say about that. But I will say this. You know, if you're trying to grow in the Lord, it's got anything you're trying to grow, you know, you got to put something into it. Amen, somebody? You know, we know that, don't we?
Amen.
Well, I've been trying that Christian thing, but it ain't working for me. I don't want to browbeat anybody, but I have never been a part of anything. You know, I started playing golf years ago, and I went out and played one time. I hit a couple of good balls. Oh, this is easy. Then I went out again. He invited me to a tournament. You can go to a tournament. I went out and was playing. I probably told y'all this before. I was playing, and I missed the ball several times. And me being an athlete, and I'm standing, all these guys standing around watching me, I'm missing the ball. And they started laughing. That got to me. And I say, if I'm going to play, I need to do what? So I went practice. And you know what? The next time I played with some of those same guys, I wasn't missing the ball. Instead of them laughing at me, they were saying, man. I said, yeah, that's right. No. And that's it. What I'm saying is, don't expect. See, that's in anything. And the benefit from spirituality that been brought. But I'll tell you what: if you don't attend Sunday evening service, pick one Sunday evening out of the month and start coming. See if it does anything for you. I need to stop. But the Bible says. Well, I'm gonna stop. I got to stop time. I'm not gonna be able to finish this. Our theme: making disciples, making a difference. And that's us. That's why God brought us together.
Yes.
To affect the world. That's his plan.
Amen.
Notice, it's the only plan he has. To save the world.
Amen.
Jesus not the next time Jesus come back, it won't be to come seek and save. He's going to claim. And if you're not on the team when he come, he's not preaching the one more sermon. And it's through earthen vessels that the message is to be communicated. And we're committed, your elders. You're going to hear some things in the very near future about how even much more committed the elders are to shepherding the flock, to us preaching the gospel, to us maturing, spiritually growing the church. Everybody, elders, the deacons, all of us, every member, we need everybody on the same team. And this is what we are about. At the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And I know that so many of you are already doing the Lord. I want to encourage you, won't ever forget this fundamental, everything that we do. So everything, every event, every activity that we're planning, we are about making and maturing disciples. Amen. If you're here today, you're not a member of the body of Christ. You need to be. Amen. You come by faith the same way they came in the first century. The Hebrew writer would say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those of them that diligently seek him. You're here today and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all of your sins, that's just have a changed mindset about it. You can't be arrogant about sin. It is sin that separates us from God. It is sin that keeps us out of favor with God. That's why Jesus came. To get us back in relationship with him. And so you can't just skip repentance. You can't just skip, I'm coming, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm... No, that's not repentance. Amen. You must confess with your mouth what your heart believes. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before me and him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. You must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Baptism puts us into Christ. As Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Don't skip baptism. We're going to get here. Do I have to be baptized? According to the scriptures, yes. It is what puts you into Jesus Christ. Amen. And he washes away all of your sins. Don't you want all your sins washed away? Amen. It's the day, January the 1st. Great day to do that. You be faithful unto death. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be faithful unto death. Amen. Brother Vernon prayed for, he said, we've lost soldier, saint this year, last year. And don't it break your heart. But the Bible says, blessed are the dead. I was thinking about some people we've lost recently. And the volcano, as humans, it brings tears. But I said, I was thinking of some of them. I said, but boy, if they in paradise, Lord have mercy. Somebody need to come to Jesus. Somebody need to get something right and do it right now as we stand to sing song of invitation.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door.